J6, number 15B.
Yes, just before I clicked off there, I said that we can see then that both the first translation, the minor prophets want to show both the first translation and the second translation have a fourfold dynamics behind it. You see, in order to work, it has to have dynamics. In order for the first translation to come to us, it has to have the dynamics of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science to come to us. It operates it. It makes it happen. In order for the retranslation to occur from the first degree to the second degree to the third degree, there's got to be some dynamics in that retranslation. And it is the dynamics of the operation of God, the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. It's just showing the dynamics of the first translation and retranslation. Let's say it that way. It brings out the dynamics, how, the actual working of it. See, Mrs. Eddy just showed on page 115 and 116 that it exists. But this shows how it works. So it's a terrific subject, and therefore one, of course, which we want to spend time when we get there in our spiritual journey through the Bible. We see then that the Old Testament closes with the mainly with these major and minor prophets, basically, let's say. And we go into another thousand-year period. And really what it's shown here is that though that Christ happening to us, and when we study the minor prophets, we really feel something's happening to us. They're powerful. They just are so powerful. Any of us who have studied them know that. And we see then how these minor prophets are showing how principle and its translation and retranslation really open up what we call the highway of life. It opens up really that highway leading out of captivity, out of Egypt, into our eternal life. And therefore we go on to the 5,000 year period and see that Jesus was in that, Jesus in consciousness understood that whole highway leading to life. Because you know, he said, I came not to destroy the law and the prophets. He said, I didn't come to destroy the first, second, third, or 4,000 year period. He said, I came to fulfill them. I came to fulfill the Bible's teachings up to now. I came to fulfill Genesis and Exodus and Joshua and Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel and the minor prophets. He says, I have that as my basis. I come forth from that principle. And Jesus himself was the eternal workings, really, of that Christ translation and retranslation. His whole life was the exemplification of principle in operation. He had that Christ consciousness. He let that operation of the minor prophets happen in his life. You see that he says then that I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So he had that humility of the Christ to let that Christ translation and retranslation happened in his life, and the outcome was eternal life, not death. The outcome of going out from that standpoint, as we saw, is life. Now, we know then, some of us, when we take a look at Jesus' life from the standpoint of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know the books that John Dorley has then on the four Gospels, especially those Gospels of 1949, the Gospel of Matthew 1949, the Gospel of Mark 1949, the Gospel of Luke 1949, and the Gospel of John 1949. He also has Matthew 1948, but it's his Oxford Summer Schools of 49 that we recommend getting, which Max has recommended us studying, and we can see why, because it gives the higher, Dorley showed in those books so beautifully. I can remember when I first read through, especially the Matthew book by John Dorley, I cried the whole way through the book. Never stopped crying. It's so beautiful. The structure behind Jesus' life is so pure and so exact. You just can't help it. I bawled through the whole thing. I never stopped. I thought the next day I got to it. Now this is the day I'm not going to cry. I cried the whole time. Never did till I got to the end of it. It's just because it's so beautiful. And John Dorley shows that structure so beautifully. It's just one. His life, Jesus, because he let the Christ idea happen into his life, he was this. His whole structure of his life was absolutely in spiritual order. It's so perfect. Well, those Gospels are an adventure, a beautiful spiritual adventure that all of us will take along the line of our spiritual development, especially now as we begin to come in to the New Testament. But I do always recommend starting at the beginning of the Bible and gently working up towards the New Testament through the books that are available. Just getting a general feel, Dorley books, the Kapler books, whatever, helping with the system. And as you break into this Christianity tone of Jesus' life for the Gospels, you'll see then that Jesus' life really has this beautiful structure, and without teaching it, because that is a subject which we feel is a bit more advanced after we learn the divine system of reference. But you'll see generally that Matthew is bringing out Jesus' life from the standpoint of the Word. That always from that standpoint of the Word, wanting to show that behind Jesus' life really was that, of course, always the law of science itself, that law of infinite being, which on the level of divine science is that law of divine self-organization. And that Jesus' life, he always says, I came forth from the Father. We'll see that life, the Father, the word of divine science, life, the Father, impelled Jesus' life out of the divine origin, out of its divine origin, and it impelled Jesus' life through the laws of life, truth, and love, impelling the law, impelling mind, impelling spirit, impelling soul, impelling principle, impelling life, impelling truth, impelling love. So if we looked at the model of being on page 63, and I'll explain this a little bit more as we go, we see then that Matthew is then explaining, as I said, now Jesus' life from the standpoint of the Word, how life, the Word of divine science, the one life, and the Word of absolute Christian science as the law of life, truth, and love, as that law really of the divine success mechanism, that law of life, truth, and love impelled Jesus' life forward, that law according to the law of creativity on absolute Christian science. How the law how the word of divine science, the one life, as the word of absolute Christian science, then the law of life, truth, and love, that law of divine success mechanism, impelled the word of Christian science, Jesus' life, forward according to the law of creativity. So we see in his life, John Dorley shows there that beautiful law of interdependence of the word. How the law of life, truth, and love, this law of the divine success mechanism, impelled forward Jesus' life experience as mind, and Jesus' life experience as spirit, and Jesus' life experience as soul, and Jesus' life experience as principle, and Jesus' life experience as life, and Jesus' life experience as truth, and Jesus' life experience as love. John Dorley shows that behind Jesus was this a wonderful law in Matthew. It's terrific. One can just see, just appreciated it. Then Mark takes on the same story of Jesus' life, but shows it from the standpoint of the Christ, showing that behind Jesus' life was a fourfold process. See, the Gospels want to show you have a life like Jesus, and that he does something. Well, why does he do something? Because he has a fourfold calculus behind him, you see? Mark wants to say Jesus was successful because he had the Word of God behind him that operates dimensionally. Mark wants to say Jesus was successful because he also had the operation of the Christ behind him. Luke wants to say Jesus was successful because he also had the operation of the laws of Christianity behind him. And John says Jesus was successful because he also had the laws of science behind him. That's why he was a successful. Jesus was this whole model of being in operation. You see, as an individual. But what we will see when we go on to the textbook, and I'll talk to you about it now, and we'll see it again when I take up the subject next week, that we also are this operation, not just Jesus, but the textbook, by studying the textbook, shows the value that science and health has, is that it enables us also through science to be the same model of being in operation that Jesus was. But anyhow, the Gospels want to say this man was dynamic. He moved. He did things. And he did things only according to the laws of God. They were moving him. His constant prayer, it's not my will but thine be done. You know how Mrs. Eddy would retire so often during the day to pray? Constantly. They say Jesus retired 7 or how many times a day. That was symbolically, of course. But he retired constantly to prayer. His whole consciousness was constantly in a state of conscious, constant communion with God. He was letting this happen in his life. So he was a dynamic, and this is the dynamics behind him. He could heal because he let these dynamics happen. And so then, as I said, Mark was showing then that the Christ was happening in his life, and that Christ happened according to the laws of truth. According then to that, the law of truth coming out of that law of infinite being, that cybernetic law of truth of that self-organizing being, which comes forth as the law of the Christ on Absolute Christian Science as truth, life, and love, which is that law we will see when we get to it, when you study it, the law Durley shows of the law of individualization. And how that Christ, through the law of individualization, how that Christ's truth came right to Jesus' specific situation. See, that whole Christ truth individualized itself to Jesus' situation, and love adapted itself to Jesus' situation through the law of individualization. And then Mark wants to bring out, and that Jesus allowed then the Christ of Christianity to happen through the law of translation and retranslation, shown through the synonymous terms of principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, and mind. So you get the whole law of interdependence, how that law of truth as the Christ and divine science impelled the law of the Christ on Absolute Christian Science of truth, life, and love, and that truth, life, and love impelled the Christ and Christian Science to bring out principle, to bring out life, to bring out truth, to bring out love, to bring out soul, spirit, mind in Jesus' life. And then we see that Luke takes up that whole subject from the standpoint of Christianity and said that Jesus was a dynamic, that Christianity was happening in his life. And therefore, behind Jesus' life were the laws of Christianity. And those laws of Christianity happened dimensionally. That he was under then that self-operating law of love. And that law of love on Christianity as on divine science impelled Jesus' life forward with the law of Christianity on Absolute Christian Science. That law of eternalization was behind Jesus' life. That self-operating law of love on Christianity of divine science became on Christianity, on Absolute Christian Science, that law of eternalization, that law of the fatherhood and mother of God eternalizing Jesus, keeping him safe, maintaining and preserving him. And that was brought out on the level of Christian Science, Christianity at Christian Science, where that law of eternalization was behind that law of reflection and demonstration in Jesus' life, that beautiful, where he just showed that he was that pure reflection in operation, and that is brought out then through the synonyms of principle, as you can see, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. That whole law of interdependence of the one love, impelling the law of life and love, which is impelling principle, which is impelling mind, which is impelling soul, which is impelling spirit, which is impelling life, which is impelling truth, which is impelling love in Jesus' life. So Jesus' life fulfilled the law of love, the dimensional law of love as Luke shows. And then the Gospel of John showing that science of Christianity, showing then behind Jesus' life was also the law of science, and that law of science happened dimensionally in his life. Therefore, behind Jesus was the law of the divine principle love. And that self-operating law of the divine principle love of science on divine science translated itself into Jesus' life and appeared on science's absolute Christian science as the law of pre-established perfection, the law of truth in love. That Jesus' life was already a truth and already a fact before he entered this world. He always said, before Abraham was, I am. So John's law shows that Jesus, that there was a divine principle love, a holistic causality, a oneness causality, a goal causality was happening in Jesus' life before he ever appeared. And that's when, as I said, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And so John brings out that law of pre-established perfection that was in Jesus' life, that law of truth and love that was in his life for eternity, forever and ever, that law of pre-established perfection. And he shows then how that law of pre-established perfection appears on the level of Christian science, then as this wonderful, divine, infinite calculus, really, this law of structured understanding, that where Jesus' life just really was an individual expression of the principle, where that principle just took Jesus' identity, soul, and he was life, a numeral of infinity, and that law of being constantly restructured Jesus' life spirit to bring out the ideal form of Jesus' life truth. And Jesus' life already existed in mind and in the plan of love, which was just showing that behind Jesus' life was this omni-action of principle. And that was the Gospel of John. So these wonderful laws of interdependence of that Matthew shows behind Jesus' life of the Word, and that wonderful law of interdependence of the Christ behind his life, and that wonderful law of interdependence of Christianity behind his life, and that wonderful law of interdependence of science behind his life. He couldn't miss, could he? And as we see, that's ours. As I said, the textbook picks up from that subject and goes on and then shows us how, by our being through the method of science, how finally we also are those same laws in operation. From the first chapter of prayer, where we're willing to be open also to this structure. But you see, the textbook then picks up from, as we'll see in a minute, from this standpoint of Jesus individually expressing these laws within his life, and then shows from prayer through Atonement, Eucharist, and marriage, and Christian Science versus Spiritualism, right on through to the last chapter of the Apocalypse, how we also are this calculus in operation. Through science, the textbook helps us become principle in operation. So it goes beyond the Bible. It then is a necessity on how we ourselves, that everyone is the same. Jesus just was the prototype of which we all are. So finally, as consciousness has flown through the textbook, it finally comes out at the 16th chapter where it says, and ye are the city. You too are the city. But that consciousness has to be purified through science and health, to drop off the old man and put on the new man, so that we are that same city in operation. Hence, that's why the Bible has to close, and that science and health then takes the place, So through science, we also, in understanding, can become that city. Jesus was that city naturally, Mrs. Eddy said. He was a natural divine science. He let this happen in his life. But to be one born of the flesh, it must be a discovery that we also are the city, but we have to discover it through science and understanding. So that's that wonderful subject of the Gospels. All right, so we go on with this 5,000-year period of the evolution of a biblical history. And we see that point of life from point one, or when Jesus' birth, to the year 1000 AD, working out from the fifth day of creation, the day of life. And that day of Christ Jesus, where Jesus was the transparency for the Christ, the individual transparency for the Christ idea happening in his life, as we saw then through the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. He was a dynamic. He was a dynamic because he allowed the dynamics of the Christ to happen within his life. Then the next big teaching would be that, of course, of Paul, that we'll look at now in that period. Of course, that we would find the whole teachings of Paul in their structure on page 101 in the study aid. And we know that Paul, first of all, was Saul, and that as Saul, he persecuted the Christians. He was a good Old Testament adherer who would try to adhere to the letter of the Old Testament, and he therefore was out persecuting these new Christians coming along. And he, on the way to Damascus, he met Jesus along the way. Jesus had gone on through his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And Paul met Jesus, and he was absolutely horrified because he said, here Jesus lives, he should be dead, because according to Jewish theology, that Jesus went against Jewish theology when he called himself the Son of God. I and my Father are one, and naturally they stoned him. That was something you couldn't do according to old theology, that there was a separation between God and man, and that man, through the covenant, had to work according to obeying these laws. And if man obeyed the laws, then he would have eternal life. But Jesus broke the old Jewish laws. Therefore, he should have gone into damnation. And yet he lived. And this was such a shock to Paul that he quit his ministry, so to speak, perpetuating the Jewish theology against the Christian, new Christianity coming along. And he went into many, many years of considering why it was then that Jesus still lived. And as we know, then finally, through many years of inquiring amongst Jesus' disciples to find out what Jesus' teachings were, and then to be quiet and ponder those teachings and let the concept of those teachings become the tonality of his consciousness, that he really made that transformation from Saul to Paul. And then Paul the Christian, we know went out to uphold the Christ standard as Jesus taught it, and he went out then on his ministry to various places. He went out, as we know, and gave his epistles or talks to the Romans, and then we have his epistles to the Corinthians. And then we have his epistles to Galatians and to the Ephesians and the Philippians and so on. So we have within what we call the Christianity matrix, Paul's epistles, Paul's letters, Paul's teachings. And Kapler has that book out called The Epistles in the Light of Christian Science.